going through all the changes, going through the ups and downs, it became something that I actually envisioned it to be. Wanted it to be. And it's just another reminder, like, be obedient. Because they always say, you know, God will ruin your plans before they ruin you.
Hey, what's up, Hung Up family? Welcome to another week, another episode of Hung Up Pod Live. I am Eric Cole, a.k.a. Tennis Bay.
You forgot who you are for a second?
I was about to do the whole introduction for my I was on autopilot for the podcast.
Listen, like, this train is moving. Listen, I am Tony Purnell. I'm your homie, I'm your brother, and I am your friend. Welcome to another episode of Hung Up Pod Live, and we are your favorite happy hour duo.
Yes, we are. What's up, y'all? Welcome another week, and we are excited. We are going to have a great conversation tonight with Black woman entrepreneur of the year, as a matter of fact.
Yes.
Sorwar, mother and owner of The Suite. So we're excited to have Janelle Johnson here tonight, y'all.
Yes. We're going to get into all things Black entrepreneurship. And we also going to get into the ins and outs of partnership, collaboration. Yes. Let's see what Janelle has to say.
She has a lot to say.
A lot to say.
So let's go ahead and get our episode kicked off.
All right.
We're going to do some Hung Up Hang-Ups?
Yes. You know what? Can I start this episode out?
Please do.
You know, and Janelle, you are free to tap in also. Right. I am...
Oh, well, first, let's do a little...
I'm sorry. Here clack, clack.
We don't clink. We clack.
You know, plastic. Saving the environment. Saving the environment.
Okay. I got to take that with me at the next party. Mm-hmm.
But I want to get into, I know y'all all been seeing the Miss Netta and Charles content. They have went viral. They just left Level Up last weekend.
Your dinner's ready.
Listen, we love it. We love it. Miss Netta and Charles, they was here recently this past weekend at Philly's Black Gay
Queer Premiere
Bar and Lounge. And so I am so hung up right now on Miss Netta, we love you, and Charles, because they are doing a damn thing.
I think it's Mrs. Netta, but yeah.
Is it Mrs. Confused. Netta? I don't know. Listen, we love y'all. The couple out there, so much success. So much.
Yeah.
Y'all doing a damn thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like an overnight thing. How do you feel about it?
I'm never upset of
overnight success of the social media.
Come on here.
I'm never upset of the display of Black love, no matter what it looks like. I'm never upset with it, so I'm hung up on it too.
Yes, Janelle said, I'm hung up, love wins again. Yes.
Love wins.
I will say this, I'm hanging up on those comment sections.
Hang up.
I hope they have somebody like managing.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
Because they horrible. They are so bad.
The other night, I said, if you want a barometer on where we are as a society, look under the comments of the post of a trans woman.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you're right.
Mrs. Netta is a good example of like a barometer where like the comment section is just
the hate
toxic.
Is real.
It's hate, the transphobia, the ableism, like everything. When a lot of y'all talking under the comments and y'all aunties look like Miss Netta. A lot of y'all got mamas. That look like Miss Netta.
And
like,
that's real.
I mean, but that's facts.
No, that's real.
I have aunties that look like Miss Netta.
Oh, it's my God. I got cousins.
I don't get you the transphobia.
Right. I don't either.
I really don't.
I don't know why it's so hard for people to just let people be. If you don't want to see it, just scroll.
Swipe.
Just swipe. Follow.
Listen.
I mean, clearly there's something that caught your attention. You commenting is only supporting them, honestly. It's getting them the numbers. So it's just like, why? Yeah.
And, you know, if y'all want Miss Netta and Charles, welcome to the podcast. We want y'all here. Let's get a personal interview with y'all.
Come back to Philly.
We should have had y'all out here when y'all was here in Philly. But it's a
moment. Well, we ain't getting no phone calls or nothing. So.
But it's a moment. We can make it happen.
We can make a lot.
We can
happen.
Make it happen.
Give us a call, y'all.
All right.
We in here doing this good work in Philadelphia. Come on.
I love to see it.
What's the next hung up, hang up? Eric, what you got on? What you got?
Giggles. Lights, camera, action, production.
It's real here. It's real. Professional. Yes.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
Come on. All right. So this week I am hung up on the month of March because this month specifically represents awareness for women. So this episode will air on March 5th. Mm-hmm. March 8th is International Women's Day. Mm-hmm. And then that Saturday, March 10th, is National Women's and Girls HIV and AIDS Awareness Day.
And March 30th is my birthday.
Oh! Period. Come on.
That's a holiday.
It's a national holiday.
Here we go. So
come on here.
We're hung all the way up. And with that, you know, I have to plug Philly Keep On Loving. That is a partnership that I currently
That's
have
right.
with Philly Health Department.
That's awesome.
And I want to remind folks that women still represent 20%, about 20% of AIDS and HIV diagnoses in the U.S. And 80% of those diagnoses result from heterosexual contact.
Yeah.
Black and African women disproportionately are impacted because, for example, for HIV stigma, a lot of straight women, just to give you an example of stigma, they believe that they can't even get HIV.
No, there's so much more work to
do. They're straight. They're having straight sex. They're with a straight man, right?
Yeah.
Or so they think in most of these cases, right? And so that's an example of stigma and why some of these diagnoses are happening. And it reminds me of the scene from Precious.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because if y'all remember Mary, that's how she contracted HIV. And I remember her saying, well, we don't F in the ass.
Mm-hmm. Well, even
remember she said
even
that?
even
so
Janet
like,
Jackson.
How can I have
for
it?
Color girls?
Talk about it.
Oh, so you
doing
the bending.
Doing the bending. Mm.
That's what she said. You know, he was like, you know, I'm a man who enjoys having sex with men. Mm-hmm. But I mean, that just says there's so much more work to do.
A lot of work to do. And other reasons, of course, are, you know, access to quality health care and racism.
Yes.
Those things are impacting our Black and brown women. So please educate yourselves, Hung Up family. You know, I'm an advocate for PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis,
yep.
And it's a daily pill that reduces the chances of getting HIV by 90%. And it is safe for mothers, soon-to-be moms, and women. They're finding out, straight women, they're finding out, like, yo, I can take this too.
Absolutely.
Because it was kind of, like, marketed, and it was almost like it was just a gay
thing. A gay thing, it's not.
Doesn't that sound familiar? Didn't they make the HIV and AIDS a gay thing?
Absolutely.
And we out here dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're having conversation. We're opening up. We're sharing these experiences and these stories. I'm hung all the way up.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I love that.
Yes.
Thank you for the education.
Yes.
I know that's right. You know.
PrEP, PEP, which is after. So if you're not on PrEP and you have a sexual encounter, and you think you may have been exposed to HIV, you can take PEP 24 hours. And then you have DoxyPEP.
Yes.
Chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis.
Yes.
So there's prevention out here. Y'all, we have resources. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, we got to do better, y'all.
That's true liberation. I always say that. Like, we want to be free. We want to be liberated. Folks, when we talk about the sexual liberation that a lot of folks, especially, you know, in our community, what we want.
Right.
You can do it and be safe. So,
all right,
I'm hung
Absolutely.
Up.
Thank you so much for that hung up and hang up, Eric. Yes. For the education piece,
right.
You know, a little
right.
You know, learning moment,
I
teachable moment.
Each one, teach one.
Hello.
There you go.
But we are going to move swiftly into our next session. The honor is all ours. And so we're super excited. How do you feel about being here tonight?
I feel amazing. Y'all don't understand how I anticipated this night. Like,
really?
I 06, 08.
All right.
But yes, I First really fam. Did all week. I anticipated like this now, just like, you know, to have another moment with my brother and family.
Literally, family.
Family and family.
Both senses of the word. Yes.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm excited. I am honored to be here. It's a privilege to be able to share my story, yes, to hear your stories, and to watch the growth of the Hung Up Pod, because I'm just so proud of y'all.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's it. I'm happy.
Always excited when folks come in here in a good mood. You know what I'm saying?
It makes the process so much better.
I know parking is hell down here. I know parking is hell.
Child.
So I'm glad you came in here lifted in good spirits.
Listen, I want to get right into it. Like, let's tell us a little bit about who you are. Tell the viewers, mm-hmm, who you are, what you do, a little bit about yourself.
And drop those Instagram ads, okay, and all of that good stuff.
All right, I'll get into all that. So I am Janelle Johnson. I am known as J. Nicole in the industry area. I own a boutique called
Mama.
The Sweet. I'm Jace Mama. Jace is my mama. Okay. I am a mom. I am a mom, but I am also an entrepreneur, owner of The Sweet, which is a boutique that highlights Black women-owned businesses. I'm trying to get Black male-owned businesses too.
Yes.
But you know, the Black women are holding down the entrepreneur thing. I don't know what's going on. Get y'all connections to
y'all,
me, please.
No, because y'all be holding shit down.
Shit, I might need
y'all be doing
but,
that thing.
You
y'all
know, it's supportive of Black-owned businesses. So yes, they all specialize in natural hair care, skincare, bath, body. My home decor business in there, which is Sweet 828, which is where it all began for me.
I love that.
We have a little 8-year-old entrepreneur in there. She makes her own jewelry in Tassar and
Co. Okay.
We have Chester's first Black woman firefighter in there. She has teas and mugs, and she's actually tomorrow, well, the second, if this will air differently, she's doing a book signing. She's an author. I mean, we have some phenomenal Black women in there that not only have businesses, they have careers, they have children. They are doing some amazing things.
That's what's up.
So, you know, my whole goal was to create another area for them to sell their products from outside of online, because they,
yes,
sell things like candles. We have candles there. I want to smell my candles. Right. I want to try my body butter.
These are things you want to get a little personal
so,
with
you know, it
before
gives,
you purchase
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
it's a good option for people that need to buy gifts real quick, stuff like that. And so we created this whole sisterhood now. We share resources with,
yes,
each other.
Sisterhood.
We're connecting each other.
It.
We share grants and vending opportunities and all of that. So,
how long have you been doing that?
So, we're going on 2 years. Well, we're into 2 years on June. So we're going into year three after June.
Okay.
My home decor business, I've been in business with that since 2019. Mm-hmm. I launched in 2020 right before the pandemic hit.
See.
I know. And before that, I was consulting.
So you had to do a quick pivot.
Oh, well, honestly, I didn't. It was actually my best financial year.
Oh, come on now. She said COVID ain't stop shit.
It did.
Okay. Oh, my God.
My background,
a lot of business owners made lemon out of lemonade that year.
Yes.
And you sound like
and
one of them.
But, you know, I didn't even know it was going to hit. So it was, I was literally preparing about a year to 6 months before anything, my business. But that's education. You know, I went to school for textiles and apparel studies, where I studied retail merchandising, inventory management, all of that. That's my background. I was in retail from 16 to 25 or so. So,
oof.
I work in different
so
areas.
You're not new to this. You're true to this.
Oh, no. And I mean, I was 30-something years old, just had Jason. I took an internship with Philly Fashion Week just so I can
add to
that.
Shout out to Kevin of Philly Fashion Week.
Yeah, so that was a couple years ago.
Yes.
Kevin and Carrie, I miss
you. Yes,
Project,
Kevin and Carrie.
I love you.
Which, I'm so late in the game. I just found out Philly Fashion Week happens twice a year.
It does. So,
it's so
the next
back
one
in September.
Yes. Wow. And I'm hoping to be back. But
so,
my background is heavy in all of that. So I consult. I'm all about collaboration and trying to help others build theirs. So
let's on that same vein of just entrepreneurship, because we always hear a lot of times the good side of it, and we hear folks saying, "Be an entrepreneur." And
quit
the,
your 9-to-5.
The beautiful stuff is right. You get to control your own schedule. You determine your salary. Like there's things that these perks that come with being an entrepreneur, but there's really a lot that comes in that bag of entrepreneurship, especially as a person of color, especially as a Black woman in business. So break it down for us, Janelle.
Okay,
what are some of the pros, but what are some of the cons?
That's what the people want to know.
The pros are always, you're working towards a freedom. You're working towards I won't have to show up to this.
A freedom. Yeah.
So everybody's freedom is different. Most are financial freedom. Mine is time. eventually I want to build my business to a point where I don't have to show up every day. I have other people managing it. Right. I can spend my time with my child. I can spend my child going, my time going to brunch and doing things that I enjoy doing.
And the money's being made.
The money's
and
being
my
made.
Sleep.
Whether operating. I'm there or not, yes. Right? Yes. So that's the freedom. Yes. That's the goal.
Yeah.
But getting there is the con because mm-hmm, it requires mm-hmm. sacrifices. And I mean, it's sacrifices that it sounds terrible when you talk about it, but I can't take my daughter on trips all the time because I'm at my store on the weekends because I can't afford to pay this payroll for other people to work there. You know, there's right. just things I have Ooh, to trade off.
Sacrifices that yes. you make.
It, and being a mom, it's hard for me to tell baby, oh, I can't take you here this yeah. Saturday because I have to work the store or I have to do this for my business and I have to do that. So, I mean, I got over the mom guilt part because it's just part of the trade-off right now.
Yeah.
But I know in the future, mm-hmm. I can make up for it. I can get that time that I'm working to, that freedom to take her wherever she needs to go, to be at every dance, every game, every whatever. And don't get me wrong, I haven't missed a thing yet. So I managed.
Yeah.
You're on point.
But
you're working hard now, thinking about what it's going to do for you.
Exactly.
And not only just for you, but for your daughter.
Yeah, it's mostly her, honestly. Right. It's mostly her.
Yes.
I'm yeah. trying to build something for her that
that's right.
So she won't have to struggle. She won't have the student loan debt. She won't.
Well, let me ask you, because on the other side of, you know, like Eric said, the cons, I want to talk about the environment, the community, mm-hmm. the field being oversaturated. So you are in a very niche
yes.
field.
And
she's a boutique.
I'm so glad you know this.
Of course.
I have to explain this to Absolutely. Everybody who wants to put their t-shirts in my store. It's not a t-shirt.
Not the
business.
T-shirts.
Come on.
I love the t-shirts.
Oh,
I love the t-shirts.
What about peace, love, and life?
I love the
t-shirts and the coffee mug crew.
Come on.
I mean, I got coffee.
There's a hat, there's a t-shirt.
But it's
Hold
a
on
niche,
now.
Like you said, it's a niche boutique. So if you yeah. go into Bath & Body Works, you don't see t-shirts.
Who?
No.
They have
Say that again.
You
right
go
to
into
camera.
Bath & Body Works, you don't see t-shirts. That's
say?
A niche boutique.
Yes,
they sell certain things
right.
in them, and they stick to that. They have other entities that they're connected to, Victoria's Secret. That's where you'll get your intimates, your t-shirts, your pink, mm-hmm. your sweats.
Mm-hmm. And pause real quick. I just want to let y'all know that in a few minutes, you're going to get a chance to see
some
a little bit of the
a little, yes. a little show and tell.
So a little bit
yes.
of what she's
a little show and tell, just a little bit.
Something for y'all to see.
Okay. Yes. So is it oversaturated? When we talk about boutiques, like that niche portion, am I like, oh, I got a very specific thing. I don't even know if I'm reaching the right market or am I in business for the right market? Like, talk about that aspect.
I don't believe in oversaturation.
You feel like it's enough for everybody?
Because everybody's going to do it different. Nobody's going to do it like you.
Nobody's going to do it like you.
Nobody's going to do it like you.
Let me take that quote.
This is, yes.
I mean,
nobody's going to do it like you.
For an example, I have 15 plus businesses in my store.
Yeah.
Most of them sell body butters.
Mm-hmm.
None of them smell the same. None of the consistencies are the same. They have different ingredients. They do different things for your skin. And everybody's making money.
Okay.
There's no oversaturation.
So if you out there listening and you thinking, and you was thinking last week, like, damn, I would like to do a body butter, but it just seems like everybody's doing a body butter.
But there's a body
Janelle
butter.
Janelle is saying... Oh,
I might have a vegan
butter.
Body butter.
I mean,
yeah,
I
you
literally
can put it on her
You may have a vegan
have
one.
Vegan.
I might have a
right. We have vegan products. But there's also people that I use this kind in the summertime because it's light, it's lighter. I use this kind because it's heavier in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And they have two different butters. You have a product for somebody.
Yeah.
Knowing your target market is the key. That's the education part that's missing.
And knowing how to display your product.
Exactly.
Because I've been in your store. And so merchandising is like a whole thing.
That's my passion.
And you definitely need to. So I want to like switch gears just a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about partnership and rebranding. Right? Because.
Oh, you get into the tea.
We're going to get there early.
We know that, like, it doesn't always, it starts out nice.
Yes.
And it
it's
starts
just like
out,
any other relationship, right? The honeymoon stage.
No, that is true.
To the point where you couldn't
talk about
when,
it.
When the shit go awry, you'd be like, I can't believe it.
Listen, you got to exactly. talk about this shit.
You didn't yes. know that yeah. your business partner could take it there with you. But let's talk about that journey of, because listen, we've all, and I'm talking
we all had a touch of it.
On this
Everyone
stage,
in these
maybe even Keith, have been in a situation where, yes, you have.
Look,
I had to clock tea. I had to come back and clock tea. Yes, you have. In case you were trying to hide some shit. Yes,
I mean, most of us have.
We've been in a situation where it didn't work out. But let's talk about it, because at the center of the conflict is what? Your brand.
Mm-hmm.
Your creativity.
The thing and that gets your a name is personal. Tied to.
And it gets a little personal.
And then people are like, oh, it's just business. No, this is personal.
It's bigger than that.
Talk about it. This is... My experience with this. Oh, I thank you. That's my daddy. That's Mr. 828. So just a little quick story on that. Yes. My sweet 828 business. My dad is bittersweet. My dad was born on August 28th. He was also murdered on 828. So
oh my God.
That's the bittersweet part of it. He was born. I had my daddy 6 years of my life, and someone took him away on that same day. So that's where the 828 comes.
Gotcha.
Just a quick little background. So he goes with me everywhere I go. That's my push.
Put the guns down, y'all. Please.
Please put the guns down.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
But yeah.
Talk about
so,
that.
So, you know, I had a partnership, and I got to take
I
some
interviewed account. You.
You interviewed us, but you see who faces on there.
That was a moment. Go ahead.
It was a partnership. The red flags were there, though. I have to take accountability for that. I ignored the red flags. It was clear.
I love accountability because oftentimes we don't want to take accountability.
The red flags were there. I mean, the minute somebody said, oh, I never thought about having a boutique. I never really wanted a boutique. You should take that and run with it, right? But they say, but I'm going to do it because it makes sense. We were both looking for spaces at the time. Mm-hmm. The cost of this two spaces separately will be the same for our rent for a storefront where we can generate profit.
So is it safe to say it worked?
It worked.
Until it didn't.
Until it required the hard work. Until it required the nitty gritty, being there, showing up. This is why I never wanted a boutique, because I don't want to be there.
Well, you know what? I'm glad that you brought that point up. And the point I want to really discuss right now is about the resiliency piece after everything that... Oh, by Shondo. Listen, I want to talk about
because
the resiliency
you feel defeated.
Piece.
You feel defeated.
Talk about
you
that.
You feel defeated.
Talk about
I mean,
that.
Because it's like, finally, this is happening. This is something I always wanted. Finally, this is happening. We're cool. We're friends. We're this, we're that. And then it kind of crumbled. And you're just like, oh my gosh. And now you got this big brand, this storefront, these other businesses depending on you. And you're just like, I have to figure out how to pivot this, how to make it work. And it's just like, it's all on you. I don't have a partner anymore. The financial burden is on me. The marketing is on me. The everything is on me. It was already me doing most of the work from the beginning, but now I have the financial stress. And it's just like, I felt like I had to let go of that energy, which is where the rebrand came. And I got an opportunity that I was just like, I have to be prepared for this. I couldn't carry that because that was that defeat moment.
Yes,
that heavy energy.
No.
And you had to
release
that.
Where all the negative,
that,
I had to let it go.
Because otherwise you was going to be blocking your own blessing.
Yes.
Isn't that crazy that we could be in a storm.
I mean, it was
that
bad.
We didn't even cause.
I was ready to shut
still
down.
Still
here.
Put
I
ourselves
was
in a situation where we could block our own blessings.
I was ready
so
to
I'm proud
shut
of you.
Down.
I'm proud of you in that moment.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes. I was ready to shut down. Like right then and there, I was ready to close up shop, forget
this. But
this
is what resilience looks like.
Yes, yes. It does, Tony.
It does. Yes. I got an opportunity to be on American Sesh with Pinky Cole and Derek Hayes, her husband.
Okay.
When that opportunity came, I'm like, there's a reason why this opportunity came to me. I can't give up right now.
Yeah.
You start seeing things, you know, happening and just like, these are signs. Like, it's not time for me to give up. I just have to pivot.
Yeah.
So you just gather all that negative energy. You toss that. You just like, all right, we're going to figure this out. You sit back and you just do it. You just make the change. Make it the vision that you had originally. That was my downfall. I thought I couldn't execute it by myself.
Come on.
I didn't have that.
Y'all better tune in right here.
I didn't have that confidence
right
in
here.
Myself that I can make it happen for by myself. I thought I needed a partner. I thought I needed all this help and blah, blah, blah.
Where did you find that inspiration, Janelle?
It was
just
in me.
No, I can do it.
I was just like, I'm resourceful. I have connections. I have people genuinely who love me,
yeah,
who want to see me win. And I have a hard time with, I'm hyper independent. We'll talk about that later on. But I have this thing where I don't like to reach out for help. But this time I'm like, I'm going to tap into my resources because I know I can make this happen. I don't know why I thought I couldn't at the time.
Did you find any struggles with the whole resiliency piece and overcoming while also maintaining being single, being a parent? Like, yeah, I got my business. Now I have all these other things attached to me as a whole.
Not to mention, I got a 9-to-5. Hello? That's crazy.
Like, so this isn't even your 9-to-5.
This isn't my 9-to-5. I'm balancing all of that. My daughter's extracurriculars. I was single off and on.
Yeah.
So I was also navigating the dating world.
Right, right.
Which we know how that is. So it was just knowing that this is something I really want. And the benefits of it, because not only am I doing this for my daughter, for me, like I said, it's 15. At the time, it was 20-something plus businesses under my roof.
Yeah.
It's other people that, I don't do things just because other people want me to, but right. I know they're depending on this extra income, this promotion, to build their brands. And it's just like, I don't want to let myself down. I don't want to let my daughter down. I don't want to let them down. Mm.
It's a lot of pressure.
And it's a lot of pressure, but, when you come out of it, it's like that phoenix.
Ooh, ashes. You know, you just out of
the ashes comes the phoenix. Exactly.
So, in our pre-interview, you talked about business exposing the truth about people. And yes. I feel like we've talked about what it can expose about partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Or lack thereof.
There we go.
Talk about when it comes to, because in our pre-interview, we talked about support.
Yes.
And especially when you first started your business. And for those of us that first started anything, be it a podcast. Right.
The support. A practice
or what have you.
What is support?
I think what we kind of lean into right away is like we expect the people in our immediate circles to lean in, fall in, and support. Not only support, but like scream that shit from the mountaintops. Support me, bitch. Right. That's why I say that, right?
Yes.
But what we know is true.
It's not the reality.
Talk about your experience and how you walk through that and to get to where you are, because I feel like a lot of the support, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm talking to creators out there and future creators.
Yeah.
It's going to come from people you don't know.
You don't
the
know.
Most.
The most.
The inside haters in your circle. Oh my God. Because I'm with, and we talking.
Yes.
I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead. This is your moment. Go ahead, baby.
No, it's facts. It's really. And don't get me wrong. Like the people that got me. The people in my circle, they ain't left. But there's a few that you thought would be.
Yeah.
And they be like, well, where's so and so at? And I just be like, you tell me. Ain't been in my store since the grand opening.
So what have you learned?
Oh, but you say, wait, it ain't been here since the grand opening,
child. Like the report, like the support doesn't stop at the grand opening. No, it's after. I would rather you not come to grand opening and support me once a month going forward or something like that. And we always talk about support doesn't have to be monetary. No, it doesn't have to be monetary, but this is a for-profit business.
It should be sometimes.
I'm not running a nonprofit.
Exactly. Ain't no hookups at the suite.
You know what I mean? Like, I need the financial support, too, to keep the... I mean, I have bills. I have to pay.
And not only
things.
Do you have bills and responsibilities and a child to account for, you have a dream.
I have a dream.
And in order to get there,
you
need that financial support.
Exactly. Yes. And so, like you said, I noticed a lot of the support came from people who do not know me, like most, or they know me in passing or from seeing me from social media, stuff like that. And like, they've become regulars. Now they're the circle. And it's crazy how the trade-off happens.
Honestly, you're meeting new faces, new people.
And that's true. And I love it. I mean, now it's to the point I have people, because the neighborhood I'm in Aston, PA, if you're familiar with the area, it's
right next to Chester.
It's suburban, mm-hmm. It's housewives, it's the others. They actually wander in. Yeah, they're very curious. So they wander in and even some of them have become regulars. I mean, been there more than quote unquote friends.
Yeah.
So it's really true.
And
it's,
they
it's
should a, it's bring your fact. Coin.
It's a fact. Oh, they bring the coin. Don't question the price. Either.
Children of the corn, bring your coin.
Don't question the price.
And don't question
bring
the price.
Coin. That's
the- You know what? While we're on that topic, you said something important earlier, and I really want to go back to that for a second.
Okay.
The importance of brand recognition.
Yes.
So we talk about, I'm a business. I'm a black business. Mm-hmm. I mean, a small black business. Mm-hmm. So when we talk about brand, light,
yep.
peace, love, and light, the importance of brand recognition.
You better plug your shit.
Mm-hmm.
Tell
me. You have to, you have to be instrumental in that process.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so if I can just for just 2 seconds, I'm a therapist. Everybody knows I'm a healer. I'm a psychotherapist, life coach, motivational speaker, author, whatever.
All
I'm
of
not
those things.
All of those things. You know, every area is opportunity for money.
Mm-hmm.
But I never thought about this, mm-hmm. right? I never thought about this. I never thought... It started with one t-shirt,
right.
and I have a whole line of things.
Yes.
The importance of creating a brand, a successful mm-hmm. brand, mm-hmm. a recognizable
Come on,
Sherelle. Brand.
Right.
Joggers.
Right.
Let's talk about the importance of brand recognition.
Next fall. So, next spring.
I mean, it...
No, his shit out already, y'all.
You know what?
No, Tony has a whole store in his house.
In my house. You know, he saw my baby. I'm going to have some stuff in your shop. But anyway,
a
go
whole
ahead.
Store, what are we waiting on? That's the next step. That was the part that was also lacking in the partnership was the lack of identifying how this could grow.
The desire, the passion.
Exactly.
And so... unequally yoked
yes,
partnership.
Yes.
And did you recognize that from the beginning?
Not
or?
From the beginning.
Okay.
No,
okay.
But like, so my growth was, I collaborated with other business. Partner had the same opportunity, but did not take that. And it's just like, you had the same opportunity.
You saw some shit and you was like, oh, that's
you
how
had,
you move?
You have the same opportunity to grow, to make your brand bigger, to make mm-hmm. this collaboration, because the whole thing was built on collaboration.
And yes,
and
come
then
on.
For it, the collaboration to actually fail is almost like, we can't. Now people identified us as the collaboration business, and we're not even collaborating.
And it was a dope collaboration.
But I'm collaborating with the other businesses that are inside.
Things are where they are supposed to be,
right.
and you're growing.
Right.
And through this experience, mm-hmm. you rebranded.
Absolutely.
What did that rebrand look like for
so
you?
So the rebrand, I changed the name. We went from Sweet Belle to The Sweet. I made it personal. I made it what I always envisioned. But that required a whole lot from logo, the brand identity stuff, the stuff that people can identify
yes.
us.
You had to change that.
I changed the logo. So that sign cost me about $1,200-something. I had to get a whole new sign. And we only had it for a few months.
See?
The investing, you know, that's yeah. the heartbreak, right? The money you put into it and have the rebrand bags, yeah. the everything associated to tissue paper. The
yes.
Changing the whole system, the website, the everything. And, you know, I've done all that myself.
Yeah.
I didn't pay people
to
do it.
The little thing that prints out on
the
receipt.
The receipt,
like
exactly. All of that
yes.
had to be
the
changed over.
Of it all. Yes.
Because... if I'm going to do this, I got to do it all the way. This is me now. This is what you're associating my business with. It's, that's how you become the household name. That's
Which
how
really was probably like a reminder for you.
It
like
was.
You really
yeah.
wasn't anticipating going through this. And
mm-hmm.
it was probably like, oh my God, I can't
yeah.
believe I'm going through this. But in going through it, it was like a renewal.
It
a
was
refreshment.
Definitely a renewal. So including relocating. So I moved to a whole nother unit.
First of all,
so wait, you're not where you used
to
be?
So I'm in the front. I'm actually on the busier street now. So I'm in the front of the complex now.
I don't know if y'all been paying attention, but they've been saying...
She ain't in the bike.
No.
She in the front,
y'all. You can find me real easy now.
They've been saying a lot of... If y'all follow me, y'all know this is the year of the re. 2024
yes.
is the year of the re. She said, I had to rebrand...
Mm-hmm.
I had to reassess some things.
Renew that lease.
I had to renew the lease. And then ultimately, I had to relocate. Listen,
relocate, yes.
This is the year of the re.
It's Ooh, the year of
the
re.
Is that
re.
The Chinese calendar? What's that? I'm going to
knock him out before this episode is over.
What are you talking about?
This is the year of
the
re.
It's the revival.
Come on.
It's
the year of the re.
I mean, that's what we calling it because that's what it was.
Woo!
I mean, I even had, it's crazy because I got invited to American Sesh twice. I had a resesh.
See,
we
here
went
we
to
go.
The wedding and then we went had an actual session. So, yeah. And I got some great connections out of that. So, I mean, overall, going through all the changes, going through the ups and downs, it became something that I actually envisioned it to be. Wanted it to be. And it's just another reminder, like, be obedient. Because they always say, you know, God will ruin your plans before they ruin you. And that's a fact. I am living proof. Because, you know, I had this vision a long time ago. I was looking at storefronts years ago.
Yeah.
And I always had a candle and home. That was my ultimate goal.
Right, right, right.
And then, you know, I added this extra piece on and go, this is not what I told you to do. Or whoever you believe in, they going to give you the signs. I did not tell you to do this. And you still trying to make this happen? No. And then it's like you, once you start being obedient to that, it'll start opening things. You start realizing different things, even about yourself, other people. Which
there we go.
Listen
we
can to segue. Those ancestral voices, y'all. Yes. They want to guide us.
Your ancestors.
They are there. I'm very much a firm believer in that.
Absolutely.
And I'm talking about immediate family.
Yeah.
Parents, grandparents. Yes. Like these are people who have gone over and they have tapped into that wisdom and they want to help us. And they
it's very
guide
transcendent.
Us. So, tap into that. And I love it. Let's go ahead. We're going to, do you want to, did you have a question?
No, I'm
before
done.
We wrap,
I just want to move into our next segment.
So before we wrap up and go into our next segment, what advice do you have to, new entrepreneurs out there or potential people who are watching, who are thinking, they're thinking now, like, I want to come up with this because I actually have an idea of my damn self. Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to Black women, Black entrepreneurs who are out there, who are listening and watching?
Well, back to the part, I don't want to damper anybody's mood about partnerships because there are really great partnerships. You two make amazing partners in this whole thing. So
which
I
came out of some mess.
Right. But that's what I want to say. It's just like, take your time and find people that's going to invest the same or close to the same energy as you into the vision. You know what I mean? Because like I said, it was my vision. To expect somebody who didn't have the same vision to come with that same energy is like, girl, what was you thinking? But find somebody. Oh, we have similar likes. We have similar interests. You know, then a partnership can work. So don't completely rule out a partnership. Because honestly, it fast-tracked me to get my store, having another person. You know, it kind of fast-tracked something. So it can help you. It can. And it might not just be timing. It might be timing. You might have to start it off and then bring a partner in. You know, just be aware. Be safe. Be, you know, have your paperwork. And contracts.
All right. You heard it from here. Where can people find you?
But also,
yes.
One more thing. You can do it.
You can.
It's not oversaturated. It's not impossible. The resources are there. Ask questions. Not all of us are gatekeepers. You can do it. That's it.
It's yours if you want it. If you want it, it's yours. Tell the people where they can find you at.
Positive message.
So you can find me at j.nicolej on Instagram or at the sweet by JNCO.
You got so
I was
many
right.
Ads.
The
you
sweet
got so many.
Dot by JNCO. That's the sweet's Instagram page. And I have at JNicole.
Something
retail.
Bubbling, right?
Yes.
Right. Something new is coming out.
It's something old, but rebranding.
Come on, breathe.
About that. So you all can watch and follow as Janelle's going on this journey.
Yes.
And we'll be sure to drop all of your ads, all your contact information in the episode notes. Thank you all for listening. And stay tuned to next week. We're going to do a part two with Janelle where she is bringing the sweet to Hung Up Pod Live.
Yes.
And we get to also get to see some of the Black women entrepreneurs that she has in her store, what products they have, and how they are pouring into the Philadelphia community, y'all.
Until next time, peace, world peace.